I don't remember when we started the tradition of Ebenezer Sunday. It was very early on in my ministry, and I believe I coined the term. I'm not sure if we've seen it anywhere else. Yeah, we did. Susie says, yeah, we think we did. I know some of the Methodist churches down the road, when they see the sign, Ebenezer Sunday, what is that? And I believe now that there are some of the churches down the road that do this. But it's a time in which, figuratively speaking, we raise an Ebenezer, like Samuel did when the Lord helped them in their conflict against the Philistines. But in my last year as associate pastor of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Muncie, Indiana, 1992, there was a member who came to my office and very forthrightly told me that I needed to go. I was shocked. What had I done that upset him so badly? Well, he then explained himself. He said, Pastor, you have matured, and it's time for you now to leave and pastor a church on your own. We were there, I believe, 5.5 years. And so I began looking for a church with an open pulpit, and we do this through the PCA, Committee on Administration, the COA, one of our agencies. Pastors fill out a ministerial data form. We send it to the home office in Atlanta, Georgia. Churches without pastors then file information about the church, the kind of pastor they're looking for, pastor with various strengths, and it might be an assistant or an associate pastor. And so we filled all this out, and I began looking for a church. I submitted ministerial data forms and resumes, so I think about 6 churches. 3 of them were in New Jersey. I was born in New Jersey, and I thought maybe coming back to New Jersey would be of interest. My father at the time was living in New Jersey. It was Fairfield Church who responded with a request for tapes, and I was very impressed with Fairfield Church being near the water. I wanted to be near water. You had the Atlantic shore, and then you had the Delaware Bay, and that really impressed me. And then when we received that request to send sermon tapes, we received also with that request the book by Larry Roff that he wrote on the Fairfield Presbyterians. It's a history of this church going back to 1680, and it also covered a good bit of history from the Presbyterian Church in general. And after reading the book, I thought, would such a prestigious church as this accept me as a pastor? And so I was intimidated, but I sent off sermon tapes nonetheless. And we were turned down by other churches. In a way, they didn't show any interest. But we gratefully received the invitation to come to Fairfield Church and candidate for the pastorate here. Our elder, Art Lewis, you've heard me over the years say, it's Art's fault. He was chairman of the pulpit committee who called us, but on the day that we came, I hadn't followed his instructions very carefully, and somehow we didn't meet up where we were supposed to meet. Right then and there, we should have been, rejected. We couldn't follow directions very plainly given by Elder Art Lewis. But nonetheless, that was the start of a dear friendship with our Elder Lewis. And we drove to South Jersey, and we were surprised at the beauty of South Jersey. I had a woman in the church in Muncie, Indiana. She honestly asked me, she said, you're going to New Jersey. Are there going to be trees where you are at? Had I known of all the nurseries that were in the area, I could have said, hey, we grow the trees for the rest of the country. And it truly is. I mean, some of the trees that are in the memorial, the Twin Tower Memorial, were grown by Halka Nursery in New Jersey. So we were surprised as well, being in the garden part of the Garden State, of how rural it was. And we were surprised by the facts that we would be picking up our mail at the post office, that we would be carting our own trash to the dump, that for the first time ever we'd be drinking well water, and that from time to time our septic tank would need to be pumped out. That was all a shock to us. We weren't city folk, but we were suburbanites. Well, Susie lived in a more rural area.
I wasn't as shocked.
Yes, okay. Anyway, that a person that's grown up with city water and sewage, this was a and mail coming to the door, this was a shock. So during our initial visit as a candidate, we realized how warm and friendly this church was, how gracious they were. We were received wonderfully. And I led the worship service. I preached the gospel. And then afterward, I was elected and called to be the pastor of Fairfield Church, a church with an amazing history. And I felt privileged to be called as pastor with our family. We had two children. Lauren was 5, Greg was 4. I was impressed at how this church has taken care of the pastor and family over the years. We came to a manse. That's Presbyterian parlance for the house the pastor lives in. Some churches call it the parsonage. We lived in the manse that had been newly spruced up, painted rooms, a new kitchen tiled floor. The bathrooms were newly tiled. There was sod in the yard. Everything was green. And there was new gravel in the driveway. And there used to be a garage out there, too. It was a comfortable house with plenty of room. And we all adjusted well to rural living. And, you know, the matter of going to the dump, there would be times when I needed to see somebody. And I hadn't seen them for a while. And in the providence of God, I'd go to take the trash to the dump. And lo and behold, I'd see such and such a person that I needed to see. So God used this rural living in so many ways. Our salary was very reasonable for our first solo pastorate. In fact, it was pretty good, I felt. Benefits included the manse with paid utilities. I had an expense account. I would take men out to breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and sometimes they'd fight over the check, and I would tell them, I had an expense account. I said, the church has given me straw to make bricks, making reference to the Exodus. So the church provided well for us. They helped us to pay for our children's Christian school education. This church has taken excellent care of this pastor and his family for these. This 2022 is our 30th year of ministry. Over the years, we've been thankful for the upkeep and maintenance and improvements to the manse and also this church. We added the bank. There used to be a bank over there, for those of you who didn't know. We purchased that property for an excellent price. And it became the men's ministry building, also known as the men's doghouse. It was available for any man that had been kicked out of his home, and we never had anybody take opportunity for that. But it was a place that was well used. It also has been torn down. It was really not being used subsequent to COVID. And we've had improvements in the church, including painting. I think we've had 2 coats of paint since I've been here. I think someone called this blue schismatic blue, but we never had any conflict over the color. Some churches have real fights over those kind of things. The carpet, we've had new carpet. I think we've had 2 sets of pew pads. And really, and then we had, you remember, we had columns in here that were holding up the ceiling when we had a joist break up there. This building was made in 1850. We had plaster coming down, but all this was cared for very well. And I'm very grateful for the deacons. John and Lanny have been deacons longer than I've been serving here as pastor. And then, of course, Benny has been a big help to them with the many ways in which he serves. And then, of course, Butch. God gave to us Butch as a man who has the gift of administration. And Butch has done a good job of being project manager for the various projects that we've undergone here at Fairfield Church. You know, there's a lot of memories that we have in this place, in this congregation. You'll see in the back of the bulletin some pictures, and on the lower right, I believe it is, You see, I'm wrestling. I had to wrestle with this congregation, literally with the youth group. I wrestled with them. A lot of them didn't realize I was a wrestler in high school, so I beat them. Kenny challenged me. This is Kenny Hildreth on the floor there, by the way, after I pinned him. This was, I think, after a fellowship meal of some kind we've had over the year. Wonderful fellowship meals. And in memory of Ken, we've had a beautiful space created here outside this side with the landscaping that is done. We've had new restrooms. We added a new restroom and remodeled the old restrooms. So this, we are very thankful for this building. And then the addition of the new manse, I remember. Gus Gosweiler, very instrumental in this, when the owner at the end of the lane put up the for sale sign on the telephone pole, Gus Gosweiler and Bob Hankins went down to inquire about the price. And I remember Gene, the owner, was trying to get maybe a little more money from us, saying, you know, this is Builded's waterfront property. To which Gus looked out the back doors, and it was low tide, and Gus, in his inimitable way, said, looks like mud flats to me. And so we got the property for a very good price, and we're very grateful for that. Over the years, I'd say the first dozen or so years, our attendance grew. We had 1 year with an average attendance of 122. That was average. And we've had a vibrant pioneer club, children who were trained in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We had a youth group, and the youth group consisted primarily of kids from the street. We would get sometimes 20, 30 kids, and at times it was hectic. I know we replaced ceiling tiles downstairs. We played soccer. It was amazing. And there were times I'm thinking, gee, I hope none of the elders show up while we're downstairs with the youth group. And now some of these kids are gone and they are married. Over the years, we've had difficulty, a change in the local demographic, you know, where once these houses on Main Street were handed down to the subsequent generations, where now those generations of those families have moved out and they rent those homes. And one time when Tremonacia Stewart, she would come from time to time, and she was working as the officer for the Office of Emergency Management. She wanted to get to know people in Fairton. So we went down the main street, and there were six homes in which the parents in the home did not speak English. And so we spoke with children. And so the demographic is changing. It's diminishing in our area, and there's a diminishing attendance as a result. 2020 brought the COVID-19 pandemic, where we, for a time, ceased meeting in the fellowship hall, and we adjusted to, Susie and I, we'd worked through the week to put together the service, the sermon, and record it on Friday. And a video recording, and then we'd put that up online. So we still have people that have not come back after COVID. And I want you to know that's nothing that is, it's something that every church in the country has experienced, a diminished attendance as a result of COVID, even with some people still feeling uneasy at coming to worship in the fellowship hall. We've also weathered some very difficult discipline cases, and I believe we lost some attendance here as well. But one of the things I've always been thankful for are the elders, who, when we would deal with a person that was struggling with particular sin, it wasn't heavy-handed, it wasn't being high on the horse, but it was with humble humility, understanding that we too are sinners and that we needed to be gracious before God. We came alongside in our challenges to people, some of whom did not respond very well, but have always been proud of our elders. Gus Gosweiler, you'll see in the picture there. Pat McHugh was the clerk of session when we came. Leroy Hyder was an elder. Who else was there? Art. Art retired. He became elder emeritus, and then that was changed to elder erroneous because Lonnie Houston couldn't remember. He couldn't remember elder emeritus. He says elder erroneous. So that erroneous has been Art's nickname all these years. And so I've been very grateful for the elders we have now. Larry Maypal, our health advisor and one of the smartest men I know, who has taught several classes in Sunday school and on Friday evenings, church history, always well prepared. Gus Gosweiler took elder emeritus status as well. And then when our elder Wayne Ernst passed away, and Wayne was a formidable elder who was always a stickler. Sometimes he could go and just press on in a certain direction. Well, when Wayne passed away, we asked Gus to come back and be an active elder and oversee our finance committee. And Gus has done that wonderfully. And so I'm very grateful for the elders the Lord has given us. The Fairfield Church has experienced ups and downs in its long, over 325-year-plus history. But the Lord has been faithful, and I believe it's because the people of this congregation have had the desire for their pastors and their teachers to preach faithfully the Word of God. Now, as I've said, this is our 30th year of ministry at Fairfield Church, and after much prayer, Susie and I have decided that it is time for us to retire. We are going to retire the 1st of September this year. This is not an easy thing for us to do. The easy thing would be to stay here in a church that has loved us, that has wanted us, but we believe that there are things that we have not been able to do in the past few years, and I've struggled with my health, my asthma, and we believe it's time for a new pastor and family to experience the grace and generosity and love of this congregation. So the elders and deacons have known for some time of this announcement, and Todd Jorgensen, who is home, he told me he's tested positive with COVID. But he is going to undertake the task of setting up the pulpit committee. He will receive from the Committee on Administration all the things necessary to be able to do that, to begin to search for a pastor and family. And I want to encourage you and challenge you, because I know many of you are probably disappointed by that announcement. But this is the time for the Lord to show us his great power and his great love for his church, for this church. And I believe that God will bless you as you turn to him and seek him. Step up and see this congregation through to this transition to a new pastorate. I challenge you. Step out in faith and serve this congregation and the Lord in the ways that he has gifted you and equipped you. This congregation has been known by many, and you'll hear again and again that it has been a warm and friendly congregation over the years. You are a wonderful, gracious, loving group of people, and this reflects the work of God's grace in your hearts, and the Lord will use this to bless this church. I want to assure you that we do not intend, Susie and I, to coast to September. In fact, we are going to press on and step up in preparing this church for a healthy transition. We hope to see new officers nominated, trained, and elected as elders and deacons. I will continue to teach the scriptures with passion. And I'd like to see more people come out for Tuesday morning women's study, for Wednesday night table talk study. More people stay for Sunday school. These are opportunities for God's grace to be ministered to your heart and for you to grow. I hope to see younger men discipled in the faith once and for all delivered in the saints. And so we want to thank you for being loving, gracious, generous, and kind to this pastor and his family. And so we ask you to pray for this ministry of a new pastor and family. Walk by faith and not by sight. Step up in faith to serve the Lord and this church. It is Christ's church. Trust him. trust him to see you through this transition. And so I leave you with Paul's admonition, which was, by the way, our call to worship. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you very much for your love over the years. This has not been an easy thing for Susie and me. We love you, and we know that God will provide and care for you. Let us sing together.